Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
I am on a journey to a land so bright and fair, where there is a place prepared for me. It started at an altar, down on my knees in prayer. Jesus came and set me free.
I know.
Jesus came and saved my soul. Now I'm on my way to heaven, where the milk and honey flows.
I know.
Haven't met the Savior, or perhaps you've lost your way. Take some good advice from me. Just let the Spirit lead you to the rugged cross today. You'll find blessed victory.
I know.
Jesus came and saved my soul. Now I'm on my way to heaven, where the milk and honey flows.
I know.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back this way once again and have what we consider another God-given opportunity to try to bring a message from the Word of God. And as we do try to bring this message, we would request that you would pray. Ask you to pray that as the Word goes forth, that it will be effectual in the hearts of all who might hear. Praying especially that as we try to address these thoughts, and not only to address them, but study and prepare for the opportunity to come this way, that we'd always have the guidance of the Lord, believing and knowing that God indeed, He's not in a faraway place where that He's unaware of what's going on, but God is in all places at all times. He's close enough to all of us that we could search for Him and find Him if happily we might feel after Him. And I believe, as God has let it be known in His Word, and I believe this based on more than just what the Word of God says, but from personal experience, I believe that when you search for God with all your heart, that He will be found of us. That's a fact. That's something that I've proved over and over again. So pray knowing that God indeed can guide and direct, and ask that He would. Our desire is to just be such as has some helpful thought, something to share from the Word of God that indeed would be beneficial to those who might hear. We certainly appreciate all who have supported the work and are thankful that made us able to come this way. And I would like to say again that the support of brethren and sisters who that they indeed are interested and concerned, and the Lord's laid it on their heart to support the work, that they indeed are a great blessing, and I'm just appreciate them so much. I also want to remind everyone of this broadcast that it is aligned with a website where that we share material for free. We share written materials and sermons, historical recordings, things that have been played and past broadcast, and there are Bible studies there. There's a lot of information that you have access to if you would like to look at that and consider it, prayerfully consider it. More than welcome to do so. We'd invite you and just let you know that you are indeed welcome to visit and use and share in any way that you feel like the Lord might lead. That website is named at the end of the broadcast, but we'll mention it at this point. The website is titled fisherofmenbaptistic.com. That's fisherofmenbaptistic.com. That's Baptist with the IC on the end. And that's all one word. And then the .com, of course, at the end. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. And then after we pray, we're going to try to take up the fourth part of a study which we've been engaged in. And after we pray, we'll try to take up that fourth part of this study, which is on the subject called Of the Way of Salvation. If it's to where you can and would like to join with us, then let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, thankful again for the rich mercy of God that you show towards us daily, ask you to forgive us our shortcomings, forgive us where things done that shouldn't have been done, and leaving off the things that should be done. We pray, O God, that by the direction and guidance of Thee, our God, that we might walk in the path that's good and right in the sight of God, knowing that when we do the will of God, that therein there's no danger. Therein's when we'll be the most beneficial to our fellow man. Help us to be endowed with the great grace of God, and let us be such as we know we can't be on our own. We pray, Father, again for the many sad and needy circumstances. Remember those who are not well. Pray for those who are downhearted and those who are entangled in things, which that causes a great despair. And as you let us know in your word that there's no peace to those who are entangled in such. And we pray mainly for the lost, knowing that the lost have the greatest need of all, knowing thee not, nor the free pardon of sin. We pray that something said or done, yea, that the great hand of mercy would be extended, that eyes would be opened, and that there would be a clear understanding of the condition of being lost before the eyes of God. Help us, Lord, to be a faithful servant to Thee, that we might be some small use in such a great work. And we pray, God, mainly that for those who have been saved, that there would be a direction unto the church of God, yea, by that leadership which that You extend, that there would be a uniting to the body in bringing glory to Thee as they let the light of salvation shine from that place. We pray again for those who You've called to carry Your word and separated to the ministry. Pray for the deliverance from the things which might entangle or turn aside. Pray, God, that You continue to call brethren out to stand in that faithful place and deliver the rich word of God. We pray, Father, again for our country. Ask You, Lord, to give us leaders who would be careful to do Your will. Help our leaders, Lord, to overcome the things which that are contrary to that which is good and right in Your eyes. And we pray, Father, that You'd remember our soldiers on foreign soil, protect them and deliver them from harm's way. And again, help us as followers of Christ to know how we ought to support all these as we should. Take now and use, direct and bless according to Your good will, forgiving us again our many mistakes. And Father, where we fail to ask, fail not to grant, for we seek all these favors and blessings in the name of Christ Jesus. For His name's sake, we do pray. Amen. We have indeed been studying a topic called the Way of Salvation. And as we have been studying this, we find ourselves at the fourth part of this study. And we'd like to read some scriptures which are on our heart at this time. And after reading these scriptures, we might refresh our memory as to what that we have been studying. But to read some scriptures first out of Matthew chapter 28, we'll begin reading where the scripture teaches, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." And with the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a brief reading lesson out of Matthew chapter 28. And we have read from the first down through the sixth verse. In reading the what's called a article of faith, which is generally a statement of what we find the Bible to teach, not a not a pressing scriptures into service to make up certain points, but rather having studied the scriptures, here's what we find they teach. And then as we offer up the articles and some accompanying verses, we ask all to prayerfully consider the scriptures and see if indeed that is what you find the Bible to teach. So this article relating to salvation explains, we believe that the salvation of sinners is wholly of grace, though through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God, who by the appointment of the Father freely took upon him our nature, yet without sin, honored the divine law by his personal obedience, and by his death made a full atonement for our sins, that having risen from the dead, he is now enthroned in heaven, and uniting in his wonderful person the tenderest sympathies with divine perfections, he is every way qualified to be a suitable, a compassionate, and an all-sufficient Savior. Any who have been following these series of points and studies understands that we're at the point in this study, this fourth part, and are considering that Christ, after his death, by which he made the full atonement for our sins, that he is risen from the dead and enthroned in heaven. We find the Bible to teach this, that Christ, having came into this low ground of sin and sorrow, and by personal obedience, honoring the divine law, even unto death, even the death of the cross, and in this grace, great plan of God, this great grace of God we see in him sending his only begotten Son, and that he by the grace of God should taste death for all of us, not for himself. But having passed into that place of death, that he couldn't be holding of it, and we see him making an open show, an open triumph, a great declaration of victory. Victory, which that we can all take part in through him, but through him alone. And so we want to consider this great point of time, this great historical event of the Son of God having entered into death, and this is what we considered in the last study. Christ entered into death. Now we want to see, as the Scriptures teach us, that he overcame it. And in this victory over death, my radio friend, you and I realize we're all going to face death. It's certainly coming. We know we shall die. So seeing in Christ, now we think about our own death, and we think about us heading to that place, there's a lot of uncertainty about us, perhaps. Maybe in your mind there's great uncertainty. I know not when the time will come for death, but I know this through Christ. I don't have to worry about being held by death. I've got victory in Christ. I didn't get it on my own. Christ went and got it, and the only way I received it was through him. And this is God's message to us. Look to Christ. Look at him overcoming death. And this is what these scriptures that we just read called to our attention. That witnesses, eyewitnesses, they were there. They were standing present when Christ humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross, being nailed in an open shame, and faced a death which he did not deserve, but he went to it for us. So as he went to it for us, many beheld it, and they knew, they witnessed it, they saw him pass from life unto death, and they saw, they witnessed that he went into a tomb. He was buried, and a large stone was rolled to seal off the tomb. Here we read of early on that third day, came these two. They were greeted by the angel of the Lord. And what was his message? Fear not, fear not. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. This angel pinned exactly which Christ we're talking about, which one. The one who was crucified. Crucified to what point? Crucified unto the death. He was put to death by the means of crucifixion. I know you're seeking him, but he doesn't stop with his message there. He's not here. For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He is risen. He rose from the dead. So as we was pointing out in this article describes for us, in becoming the all-sufficient Savior with the tenderest of mercies for all of mankind, he came to that point having tasted death but couldn't be held by it. And in him, in his resurrection, we see the great triumph, the open declaration of absolute and utter victory over death. Death that you and I, all of us, my radio friend, that we're going to experience, that we're going to taste of. He and only he has overcome it. And all those who will come unto him with all their heart will also find victory over death in Christ, but in no other place. Another reference from the scriptures helping us see this is out of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll begin reading verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It was impossible that Christ should be holden of what? What's the it? It was impossible that Christ should be holden of death. God raised him up. Why did God raise him up? Because Christ honored the law. He was tempted in all ways like you and me, but without sin. He knows what it is to be one of us because he became one of us, the divine, the absolute divinity of the second person of the Godhead. That second person of the Godhead was united into and with humanity. And not just somewhat, but he took upon him flesh and blood. Inasmuch as the children are flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same. He became not like a man, but he was made a man. And joining in his divinity was the humanity of man, honoring the law of God all the way unto death. And at that point of death, death could not hold him because he had never broke the law of God. Great victory for mankind. Let's consider another section of scriptures from over in the book of Hebrews. Now in the book of Hebrews, we'd like to take a look at chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, begin reading in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who be in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What has Christ done? He has not only came and tasted of death and been raised from the dead, but has ascended unto the right hand of the Father and is enthroned on the right hand of the majesty on high. How high? All the way to heaven. All the way to heaven. He, having come to this world, to this low ground, this veil of death by under which that we lie, and death being right up on our heels, and that which we face, and we don't know at what moment that we shall fully face it, that it shall come to be, that we experience it. But when we do, we know that Christ Christ, if we have come to Him and we have that assurance that He places in our heart with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost down in our soul, that therein we have the victory and we're prepared to face death because of Him who is now seated up on high. We think of another reference out of this same chapter teaching us the very same thing. When quoting the Scriptures in verse 8 of this first chapter of Hebrews, we find, "But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God," this is God the Father speaking of God the Son. And notice how He acknowledges the divinity of the second person of the Godhead when He says, "But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom." Where is Christ seated? He is seated upon the throne of righteousness, seated there on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We notice another reference out of Colossians, and in the book of Colossians and in chapter 3, we find in Colossians 3, where again we're noting how that the Son of God has risen from the dead, and where He is now, having risen from the dead. As these church members at Colossae are having it called to their attention, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also appear with Him in glory." Where is Christ seated? If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So, Christ, having came, having tasted of death, is indeed seated at the right hand of God, having been raised from the dead. Another reference which abundantly helps us see and understand this point, again in the book of Hebrews and in chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. "Now those things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest," speaking of Christ, "we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. Where is He seated? He is set on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens." This is Christ of whom we speak. This Christ who has showed openly and declared for all the world, not done in a corner, although perhaps denied of many and just flat out rejected, makes no matter, it doesn't change the fact. And when we hear of it and it's declared plainly unto us, the Spirit of God accompanies the message to aliven it, quicken it down into our hearts, and we know that this message is not a private thoughts of some little man, but it's the actual Word of God that God has sent unto us, and He doesn't leave it. He doesn't leave it unaccompanied, but rather He accompanies it through the Spirit, so that as it comes to our hearing and enters into our own hearts, that we know that it's more than a dead letter, but it is a living word, speaking of a living Savior who overcame death, hell, and the grave, and is risen all the way to the heavens, seated now on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Philippians chapter 2 teaches us, beginning in verse 8, "Being found in a fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What happened? Christ humbled Himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, in other words, because of this, God has highly exalted Him. Death could not hold Him. God raised Him from the dead, and God set Him at His own right hand, exalted Him above every name that is named. Which names? Among what group? Among those on earth? Yes. What about those under the earth? Yes. But does He stop there? No. He doesn't stop there, but above every name that is named even in the heavens, Christ is exalted above them all. Great victory, great triumph, made an open show, a show openly before all the world and all the heavens. He, being the victor, has been exalted this high in united, that is, in the humanity combined with the divinity, bringing this place that mankind too, through him, can receive the great purchase of Christ, that he purchased with his own death. And lastly, Ephesians chapter 1, here it's fine, beginning with verse 19. What is this? Is a prayer expressed for these Christian believers at Ephesus. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So Christ, being exalted, being raised from the dead, was raised from the dead far above all principality, all power, all might, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that one to come. When did this happen? When he raised him, when God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. We believe that Christ, that by his death he made a full atonement for our sins, and having risen from the dead, he's now enthroned in heaven. This is what we believe is a great and essential part of salvation. Hope that you've enjoyed the study. Continue to pray and study. And again, consider going to the resources found there on that website that again is about to be explained. Pray again for us, and we'll be careful to pray for you to be able to come back this way again. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.